Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Okay, so he hosts a show on Wednesdays at Better Days in the Lower East Side. It's such a fun show. You got to see it. And he hosts the podcast Hope of the Hood. Give it up for Petey Diabro.
Guys, welcome to Hope of the Hood. It's your boy, Petey. I'm back. It's Friday, July 6th, National Fried Chicken Day. I don't know if you're in the know, but that's what's going on. I just had some Popeyes. Shout out to Popeyes today. I'm powered by Popeyes Rippin' Chick with the bold BQ on the side. $5. They're keeping me alive. The 4th was a couple of days ago. Me and Taylor were just talking about it. And yo, it was extreme, man. Shout out to everybody over at the Pirate 4th of July, 345 Elder Street. Shout out to all my dudes on the barbecue. Jason, Derek. Shout out to Kevin and Kaylee, Queens Brewery. They was holding your boy down, man. I shouted them out on the mic as soon as I went back to get some food. They was like, nah, we got you. We got you. I was like, oh, thank you. But I had a fun show. Thank you, everybody that laughed at my jokes. I appreciate you. I didn't really feel too successful, though, because like my plan was that I was gauging my set on, I wanted somebody to fall off the roof. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to make someone laugh so hard that their friend was sitting on the ledge and then they flail their arms because the jokes was hitting so crazy that they hit their friend in the face and the friend fell off the roof. And then it would have been legend. Like, yo, you remember that time, Petey was said that thing about the Zika juice and then Shorty fell off the roof, yo. Oh man. And then now every time they do like shows for, like I would do rooftop shows, I will only do them if they had like netting around, like how they got the Apple factory, so when people try to commit they did got the net and shit. So that's all right. So that's what was on my mind. We're here at Acast Studios, doing it again, doing it to win. They always treat us so good. Today I'm sipping on a La Croix natural mango essenced sparkling water. I feel really, I don't know, I sip, I never had, you know, I'm an Arizona mango madness kind of guy, so once I seen the mango essenced, I'm like, oh wow, La Croix. I heard actually the owner of La Croix got in trouble recently for sexual misconduct to two women on, I think, a flight or something like that. Don't quote me, but that's not cool. So maybe I'm going to go back to, I don't know, what's the other? Perrier. I never heard nothing bad about Perrier in them. So just call me Perrier Petey. But they don't got the eclectic flavors like mango essence. You know what I'm saying? So maybe y'all could steal La Croix's formula, or maybe they'll sell it because they're going under. So cop that, Perrier. Back, man, had a pretty good week. I told you last week I had a audition. The audition went okay. No, actually, the audition went well. I did my motherfucking thing. So the thing is, it's like no matter what the results is, it's always about how you feel you did when you left. Like I did everything that I could do. Shout out to all the people that gave me stage time in regards to trying to tighten up what I had to do for the audition. And so, yeah, it was for the Comedy Cellar. Won't go into too many deets, but, you know, it's like a big thing. If you know comedy, that's like, come on, you auditioning to get into like the best club in the world. Everybody, that somebody was there. Shit, Amy Schumer bumped me on my way. Like I was supposed to go up and it was like, Amy's going to do 10. And then I was like, oh shit, Amy Schumer. She came through. The people was in a frenzy. I think somebody might have even fainted. And I said, oh shit. But I had a good time. Shout out to Gary Goldman, man. He's the person that referred me and Dan Soder. Shout out to Dan Soder. The story's crazy. One day I was in Boston. Actually, shout out. I'm doing a lot of shout outs here, but I have to. Shout out to Sam Ike. He had me on his show maybe about a year ago last summer in Boston. And I did a set. They told me it was like a record-breaking set. They told me I did like an hour, 20-something minutes. And I was like, what? I was just waiting for the light. I didn't even know how long I was doing. And then, so Gary Goldman was there. Gary was on the show. He killed. And I was so just amazed that he was there. Like, I didn't think, you know, no disrespect to Sam Ike. I just didn't think Gary Goldman was going to be at this show. And then he shows up, does it. Me and my boy Sean are driving back to New York after the set. My boy Sean is down with the sober movement, so, you know, he could drive 4 or 5 in the morning. He's ready to drive 20 hours. Just give him a cup of coffee and a donut. He's out. So we're driving back, and I'm like, we're just geeking out. Like, yo, could you believe Gary Goldman was at the spot? And we're just, like, geeking out. And then I look at my phone, and it's a message from Gary Goldman. I never met Gary Goldman in my life. I know of him. I know how great of a comic he is. I didn't know him. And he sent me a message. And he's just like, hey, I caught your set at Cityside. I didn't get to stick around to the end. He says, but you got the it. And he's like, if you're not in any club in New York City, you let me know. And I'll talk to whoever I got to do to vouch for you. And I swear to God, I don't think I responded to that message right away. Like, I had to let it soak in for like a good half hour, like me and my boy geeking out even more. Me and Sean, I'm like, yo, what the fuck? Yeah. And I'm like, yo, what do I say? What am I gonna say? And then I'm like, I had to shoot my shot. I had to go to the highest of the you know, favors I could get. So I was like, yo, what about the seller? And then he was like, yeah, well, you know, he told me how it worked. He's like, just find another reference, find another regular, and tell them to contact me, and then I'll work it out. And you know, send me a tape and then I'll see. And probably like last summer, I didn't really get a date to audition or even a confirmation to audition until a few weeks ago. And then a couple Saturdays ago, I was in the pits. I was down and I said, man, I just need some sort of a good word, a message, a sign, or something. Then I get an email from Esty at the Comedy Cellar, the lady that runs things there. And she's like, hey, does this Friday work at 9:10 or whatever? I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Like, this is what I didn't even know exactly what I was looking for, but this is what came to me. And it was like a crazy great feeling, turnaround, pick me up. And I just, you know, it was like a dream come true just to get the opportunity to audition. I'll be honest with you. Like, if anybody knows comedy or if there's any comedians listening, there's thousands and thousands and hundreds and a bunch of comedians in the world and in New York City, and not everybody gets the opportunity to audition. So that felt good. I didn't get a yes or a no. So like I said, I was speaking to Taylor before we started recording, but I was a little stressed out last weekend after the audition, because I said I felt that they good or whatever. But then reality comes to, I think, just knowing, like, you gotta be aware of what you did, you know. Like, I'm aware of the pockets of people that laughed. I'm aware of the pockets of people that screamed. I'm aware of the pockets of people that clapped. I'm aware of like where she was. I'm aware that she laughed a few times. Like, I was aware of everything. So then I walked away. I felt good. But then I think it's like we feel, it's like a vulnerable state when you don't know. It's like if you go in for a job interview and you feel like you did really good on the job interview, but now you're just waiting for the yes or the no. And my whole thing is like, I just like to know yes or no. Like, either way, it's going to be fine. You know what I mean? But I think just not knowing is what drives me a little crazy, because I know, like, a yes, I'm in, feel good. A no, I'm out. And the thing about no's with me is no's always make me stronger. They've always made me stronger, at least at this person that I am today. Like, in the last 4 or 5 years, as I've been doing comedy, every no has made me strong. Like, every no was like, all right, I'll fucking show them, or I'll show whoever the fuck. Who you think is nice, I gotta fucking outdo them now. They don't even know it's your fault that I'm gonna make them look bad on this show. And then, you know, I'm not saying that that's how it always works out, but that's like the fire inside. So even like when I did the barbecue show for the 4th of July, I'm like, yo, pff, Oh, word. So I already had that, like, I did get a note, even though I didn't get a note. I had the, I got a note aura, like, I need people to fall off the roof. It didn't happen. So next year, hopefully they invite me back and then we can make it happen next year. I think it's like time. You just got to stay active. You know what I mean? But like, you got to stay active, stay positive, stay patient. I saw this documentary, even like, so before I got that email to audition, I was watching this documentary randomly. It was in my YouTube feed about Tom Brady from the New England Patriots. I'm not a New England Patriots fan. I'm not a Tom Brady fan. I'm just a fan of good, like, stories or whatever. So I didn't even know that this dude was picked 199th. So 198 people got picked before Tom Brady. After he, like, I think he won the Orange Bowl with Michigan in a comeback victory, his final game in college. He gets to the NFL combines where they check out all the drafts and stuff to, like, see how fast they run, how high they jump, all that stuff. He runs a 40 in, like, a little, like, 5.2 or, like, 5. And that's, like, if you know sports, that's an absurdly slow time. Like, there's defensive linemen that run under 5 seconds, you know. So they looked at him. Everybody was like, he just don't got the look. He don't got the quarterback look. Like, they had a chart of all of the things that he couldn't do good. They were like, he can't do well under pressure. He's this, he's that, he's not athletic, he's like whatever, his passes aren't accurate, and just all this stuff. And then they showed him in the combine, and they show people talking about him that, like, passed him over. And they were like, there was really nothing about him that we could see that was, like, worth, like, going out of our way to pick him. And they were interviewing him, and he remembered. They were like, do you remember the guys that got picked before you? He was like, all these quarterbacks. He remembered it was, like, 6 quarterbacks. He was like, Chad Pennington, this person, that person. And he knew everything they did in their first year. Because then he got picked 6, right? Last pick in the draft. His first year out of college in the NFL, he doesn't get to play. He's backing up Drew Bledsoe at the time. All of the picks that got, the quarterbacks that got picked before him, they got to play, and, like, you know, nobody did anything exceptional. Then they showed, like, the owner of the team was talking about him, like, in one of the scenes, and they go, yeah, it was practice. I remember it was, like, summer camp, and Tom Brady came up to me, and he goes, hey, Mr. Kraft, my name is Tom Brady. And Kraft is like, yeah, we picked you. I know your name. We picked you 6th round or whatever. And then he told him, I just want to let you know right now, this was the best pick you ever made. He looked at this dude, got picked number 6, like number 199, 6th round. Mr. Kraft was like, yo, it's like he stared into my soul and told me that. And then he goes out 2nd year now. He doesn't start 2nd year. Drew Bledsoe gets hurt. He comes in the game, wins the game. And then he told, I guess, somebody else on the sidelines, he was like, yo, Drew Bledsoe's never getting his job back. First year. Well, it's his 2nd year in the league. First year playing. He wins a Super Bowl. Fast forward to 2018. Probably the best quarterback ever. There's never been a quarterback that's won that many Super Bowls. 4. It's never been that, you know what I mean? So it's like, that was like the thing that I needed to see at the time to be like, yo, you don't got to be the first pick. You don't even got to be in the first round. You could be in the last round and you could still be the best. Because the thing that's about you, people can't even see it. Like, they'll see it. Like, they saw him win the game. They saw him, his nickname was the comeback kid. They saw him come back under certain situations and they still didn't pick him. So it's like, even the things that people overlook, like, it's not like he never had a good game in college, but people just, it wasn't enough to sway people to pick him sooner. That was, like, definitely something that I saw, and it just, like, got the fire back. Even, like, thinking that I didn't get it, like, the comedies, even though thinking I didn't get into the comedy solo or not knowing, it brought some sort of fire back to me that I didn't, I'm not going to say I didn't have the fire, but I didn't have, I wanted people to fall off the roof fire. I felt like, because you start coasting, like, oh, everybody just thinks I'm good. Everybody just, you know, they go, oh, Petey, you're this, you're that, yo, la, la, la. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes it gets to my fucking head when I do events and all these people come out and they say, we don't know who's on the lineup. We just come to see you. So you kind of get like, oh, the people love me. You kind of just be chilling after a while. You know what I mean? You're like, yo, the people love. But then it's like, you get that. I feel like that just is those little things, like the little no's and the little things where you still got to prove every time. And that's like, I wish or I hope that never goes anywhere. Because I could, like I said, I could even see it not fading, but it's not, it wasn't as strong. And then even when I was looking for spots to work on my audition set, some people said, like, one person was like, no. And this is like, my thing is, yo, if you, Taylor, I don't even, like, whoever, Jose, anybody, I don't even need to you to even be a comedian. But if you came to me and say, yo, I'm working on, I need to work on 5 minutes for a thing that's going to help my career or help my whatever, I'm going to say yes. What the fuck is 5 minutes out of my day? Like, 5 minutes out of my show? You know what I mean? Like, 5 minutes isn't a big deal. You know, and it's like, especially because it's going to help you further yourself or get better. Like, and then it's just paying it forward. Like, yo, maybe you need it one day. And then maybe somebody will do the same for you. So, you know, this one shorty was like, nah, we overbooked. I got to check with my team. LOL. Yo, that shit felt so disrespectful. I'll be honest with you. Like, one of my homies hit me up. He was like, yo, come on, man. One day you're going to get to a point where that type of stuff doesn't even matter. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah. But in my mind, I'm like, but I ain't there yet. It matters. I care. I put in work. And then I'm like, oh, so the whole reason, too, I was kind of stressed out before I got the audition date was I just felt like it was like a Friday pass, Thursday pass, Saturday pass. I didn't have any shows. I'm like, what? Like, how everybody's like, yo, you mad funny, la, 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 la. And I ain't got no shows on the hottest day of the week. You know what I mean? So it started stressing me out. I went back into the streets one day, the comedy streets, and I was just showing up at shows and people was putting me up. So it wasn't like I said, I think I was just kind of chilling and expecting shit as opposed to doing what old Petey did. Was old Petey just go out on the block, be the first one there, be the last one to leave, be the first one to get the opportunities. And they're all there. You know what I mean? They're all there. Shout out to all the people that looked out with the spots. And yo, man, this is my honor and my pleasure to introduce this guest right here. I met this brother years ago. I used to host an open mic called Inspired Word, Mike Geffner's Inspired Word, at Funkadelic Studios, 1&1, Bear Burger, all types of spots. He's Parkside Lounge. I think that's where it's at now. So I met this dude, man, and he was like the most officialist, you know, because the thing is, I'm gonna take y'all to the mic right now. It's singers, it's poets, comedians. I was there. It's like all types of people, different, you know, rappers, different types of entertainers and stuff, magicians, all kind of weird stuff, man. So my man came through so official. Like, it's certain things, like that's like if the dude that when they talk about in practice, like, yo, this nigga just practiced mad hard, son. Yeah. Like, he practiced like this shit is the real game. Okay. So we just out here practicing. So it's my man. Yo, my man had cutouts and all that. So you know what, they own face cut out. Nigga had a street team at the spot. Yo, welcome, my brother Uni G, man.
Cheer, what's good? What's good?
You know what I'm saying?
I ain't PD Dan Blue. I'm feeling good, bro.
You come from the Bronx?
Yeah, we got lost and shit. We had to go. We went up and down Lafayette, went through the corners, and we had to cut through Walker, and then we found out where Cortland was. It was crazy.
You know, our shit is like real low.
Official.
Just in case somebody try to follow us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Dip off into a little crevasse. Official. And they're like, oh, niggas in the crevasse. Where did it go?
Yo, you stupid.
And now we sipping on La Croix. You know what I'm saying? We just doing it big. So we got the Welcome to My Universe tour popping off. When does it start?
It starts on the 13th.
The 13th. And what's the first venue?
The Bronx Wedco Music Festival is going to be on St. Louis Boulevard. St. Louis Boulevard in the Bronx.
That's in the Bronx. I never even heard of St.
Yeah,
Louis.
Yeah, me, new, me new neither. Bronx? It's new.
Come on, man. They can't be doing that.
Yeah. So that's going to be the 13th. Then the 15th, we kicking off at New Yorican Cafe. Yeah. We got you. We got, who else we got? We got, because I got you on. a bunch
of. You can catch me at the New Eureka hosting for my man Unity.
Yeah.
We go back, man. We go back like LeBron's hairline. Baby.
I'm dead. So yeah, we got Rock Nation. We bringing out Rock Nation, my boy Polo, and a few other people. Then we got Hip Hop Mike. We got Chris Gotti, so forth and so on. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't get back to you about the other days because there's more dates.
Right?
You know what I mean? I was like, I know you be busy and all that.
I was about to say, you better get
it. I know. Real talk. I know you be busy.
Give me like a month or two.
Right. Say no more.
A few weeks. Say no more. Let me see. But,
I got you.
Yo, so you got Rock. You always got official people in the building. Like, if it's not Hot 97, it's Rock Nation.
Power.
If it's not Rock Nation, it's Power 1. If it's not Power, you got Sway's hat.
Right.
You got Sway hat. I'm dead. Nigga, come through. You don't come through wearing Sway's hat, nigga. Like, yo, who wears Sway hat? Nah, he just told me to wear his hat.
You stupid.
Represent.
You stupid.
But you've been up in Sway's universe.
Yeah, a lot.
I see him rocking your gear.
Yeah, hard.
What's the website where they can cop the gear?
IamUniG.com.
IamUniG.com. That's simple, man.
That's it.
Yo, so let me ask you, my brother. Mm-hmm. Where does that? Are you from the BX, right?
Right.
Where does that hustle come from? Because like I said earlier, you got the... You like, honestly, and I know a bunch of MCs and people doing things.
Right.
And I'll be honest, you inspire me to the point of like,
bro.
Yo, like I said, somebody that takes what they doing, I don't even say mad serious, but like next level, some next level. Where does that come from?
Yo, honestly, just because, you know, I hate idle time. Like, I think that's one of my phobias. Like, I hate just wasting time. Like, I always want to feel like I'm doing something productive for myself, for my future. Like, they'll tell you, I always think, you know, for tomorrow, which is a good and bad thing. And I'm like, no, we got to do this so tomorrow for the kids and so forth and so on. So I'm always just thinking ahead of time. Like, they be at the clubs. Like, we going to buy a drink? Like, nah, $16. No, because I'm going to need $16 when I need to get on the train in 2025. Can't do it. So, you know what I mean? So idle time. And just, wanting success, you know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, Christ put me on this earth to spread my word to, you know, everyone. I feel like I have to, you know, go hard to make sure my mission is complete. Because I feel like a lot of people die without ever, you know, fulfilling their goal on life, in earth, you know what I'm saying, in life. And I don't ever want to be one of those people. So I just want to just keep going hard just to, you know what I'm saying, inspire people and just keep going, you know what I'm saying? It's just my passion. I'm passionate about this, you know what I mean?
That's
so
crazy. Yo,
keep going hard.
I remember, Kevin Lawrence, shout out to Kevin Lawrence.
Okay, he gave me a call too. It's crazy.
Yeah, I ran into him at your spot. I ain't seen the brother in a minute. I know Kev from high school. Like, we
That's
go
crazy.
Back, son. Like, he was a senior when I was coming. I was hanging out anyway. So I seen him, and we chopping it up outside of the. You know, my man was at the Bronx Museum.
Right. That was lit.
You know what I'm saying?
That was lit.
What you think? Is Jumanji? Yeah. Snickers, what's that, Night at the Museum, son? With
you're
the B in the BX?
You stupid.
Night at the Bronx Museum. Niggas had one of Kool Herc's dreads just in a showcase box.
You stupid.
But anyway, so I see my man outside, and he's like, yo, I'm proud of you. I'm like, yeah, you know how you do the humble, like, nah.
I'm trying.
You know, I just try. He said, nah, but for real, son. He said, yo. A lot of times where we from, son, niggas don't ever even leave the block, son.
Right.
And I was like, because I be saying that in my comedy, like, but I think sometimes so it's so much comedy that I am saying it in fun.
Yeah.
But like when your man say it or some like not even fun type of shit, niggas don't leave the block. And I was like, damn, son, you right, B. And that's what I'm saying. Like when I seen you just carry it.
Yeah.
Differently. Like I said, I know a lot of dudes that they feel like grinding is like just sending you a message on Facebook like, yo, check out my song.
The fact.
Where it's like some niggas ain't even on Facebook. Like, what you gonna do beyond that thing? And then they feel like, yo, that's my, I'm on the grind.
Right.
Paying dues. Like, you're not paying dues, bro.
That's real.
You paying the social media dues or
that's
whatever
fact.
It is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what definitely attracted me. Like I said, I think it definitely pushed me because if I'm there and I'm hosting the joint, if I'm hosting the mic, not even talking about the shows, you was the only dude that I seen coming. First of all, you treated the mic like a show.
Mm.
Then you treated the show like you practiced for the show. You know what I'm saying? Like if y'all could picture this, close your eyes, man. It's my man. So he'll have a bunch of artists perform, boom, boom, boom. But he sets it up for himself because you know my man is a headliner. So he come through. My man got visions, man. I always would say this. I go, yo, wait till my nigga get money though. Like he be going hard without the money. Cause like, all right. So the first time I think we was at Tobacco Road. That was the first show I think I hosted. Right.
That's the road back.
So my man. So hey, you know, I think I don't remember. who I think Fred the Godson was on the bill.
Oh, wow.
So he's out there. He's doing, you know, Fred come through. He's like a smooth dude. You know, Fred like smooth. He like the BXJ or something. He like, And then, so then I'm like, yo, Yudi, like, yo, I'm bring me up, boom, boom.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
So I'm like, I don't know what you up to. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I just know he goes big from the mic. He come through with the cutout of his face and the whole block. And he got the block nigga selling beef patty cutouts. So the nigga, I'm like bringing him up. I'm fucking with the crowd. Boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, I just smell smoke. I'm like, what? Is the building crazy. On fire? Yo, my man got like 3 shorties, 4 shorties coming up. And here's the thing. Like, everybody don't got all of the fog machines that they need, but they still need the effects. Yo, my man had shorties holding like smoke bombs, my
nigga. That's a fact.
Yeah, they was walking the through flaming. The crowd with smoke bombs. Motherfuckers was coughing. They were like,
Yo.
And then you come to say you had the sparklers or whatever. You had the robe on. Right. Like you was boxing and
right,
shit.
Right.
It wasn't even like a boxing robe. Like you had on the fucking hotel robe, nigga. Like when you was shadow boxing.
You stupid.
And, but like you went all the way out. Like you went out like, yo, I'ma perform. Like right. you didn't go out on some half stepping shit. Like really, where does that come from? Like, where does that performance side of like, you don't just, it's not just you, MC on the mic. Like,
Right. It comes from many things. One being that I remember I used to study like the game, as people would say. And I remember Big Daddy Kane at all of his shows, he would leave candy canes on the chairs for everyone who came to see him. And I thought that was dope. I'm like, yo, he's dead giving everyone a reason to take a piece of him home. And just to give someone, you know, like, this is just not a show. This is just a moment that you can remember for the rest of your life. Like, so I'm like, you know, when I go out there, I want to be able to like really give them a, just not bars and just a, you know, good songs. I want to give them a reason to take a piece of me home with them. So that's one. And two, I know that me being the type of rapper I am, I'm not like a him and a river the river, a trap rapper. I'm a Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole type rapper. You know, not a lot of people's going to, you know, gravitate towards that, pick me up. So I'm like, you know, I have to go extra hard to be seen, to be respected, to be recognized, which is another reason why I do my own tours. I'm like, you know, I get on other people's shows and I do a tour here and, or, you know, a show here and there, but no one's really trying to go hard to bring out the real rapper. They want the entertainer. Right. So I'm like, you know, I have to give you a mix of both. I'm going to give you entertainment and I'm going to give you real music. So that's really why I go hard. I'm like, you know, I got to give you both. You know what I'm saying? A real reason to take a piece of me home with you. You know what I'm saying? So,
You know what else I peep too that I admire? Your family.
Mm.
Every time you ever do anything, family is there helping you, team. Gang. Niggas be like gang. Like, I'm talking about... It's not, you can't even say, it's like fam. Like fam that's like, at the door, at the merch.
Right.
At like, you know what I'm saying, running the joint.
Yeah.
On some general manager type of, or like everything is always like, how does that, like, did your fam always believe in you like that? Or was it something they just seen you go out and then they start believing in you?
Yeah, they just recently started, you know, my cousin Kev always believed, you know, my sister here and there. But, you know, the rest of, like, friends and, you know, people I built, you know, along the way. Because before, I could barely bring two people out. You know what I'm saying? But as I kept going harder and harder, I did a whole bunch. We were just talking about the Mike Geffen's joints. I did a whole bunch of that. And I'm like, you know, I really built a legit fan base. And some of those fans helped me to this day. You know what I'm saying? Just all fans I built off the open mics. So off the open mics and just different shows I did, paying for shows, I built that fan base, and that's where I got my support from. And then my family was like, all right, hold on, he might really be a big deal, you know what I'm saying? Then, you know, a few checks came in for, you know, the music, selling off iTunes, and they're like, all right, if he's getting checks from the music and shows, he might be all right. He might be doing a little thing. They still don't really go hard to, you know, support me, but, you know, the little support I get, I appreciate.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I remember when I could barely bring legit two people out. So now people waiting, lining up to see me now, and it's like, that's crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody wanted to see me before, and I did that organically,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So... the family's there, but, you know, it's really the support from the Unites, my supporters. You know,
the Unites,
you know what I'm saying? That's what the love is from, you know what I mean? Just going hard.
What part of the Bronx are you from?
All the way uptown, Marshall Parkway, Tracy Towers, across the street from Clinton.
Clinton High School.
Exactly.
I used to go to dances over there back when they used to do the little dances at Clinton.
And all that. Yeah,
get a little Coca-Cola, put a little Easter Jesus in there. You'd be like, niggas grind. That's back when niggas used to grind on the shorty. You grind on the shorty. niggas be recapping their grinds. Like, yo, I was grinding with Tamara earlier. You see me? We grinded for like 20 minutes. Nigga, 20 on the grind, son.
Stupid.
That shit is like, we used to rob kids at Bronx Science
over
there. Hell yeah. That's what we used to go for. The North
Face.
Y'all
be so dead when you put up your old pics. I'm like, nah, that's not you.
So how was it coming up, like, out of the Bronx with all of these different influences?
Yeah.
Where it's easy to go the wrong direction.
Right.
Like, what led you into, was it always this direction music, or?
I've been rapping since I was 10. So, you know, I was always trying, like, I want to be a rapper. Like, I mentally built myself to be a rapper. I'm like, yo, I'm out with this, I'm out with the bass, I just want to be a rapper. But what really kept me on the right direction is, like, you know, seeing my friends die. I'm like, damn, they threw my friend in the Bronx River and he drowned to death. I'm like, I don't want to drown. And another one of my mans, they shot him twice in the heart, one in the head. I'm like, I don't want to die. Like, I don't want to go through that. I'm just keep focused on his music and just keep rapping. Now, I think maybe one day it'll turn to something. And, you know, when I turned 17 and Mr. Biggs from the Soul Sonic Force and African Bambaataa, they was like, yo, you really nice. Took me to the studio, paid for studio time. All right, maybe this could really turn. So I'm going to just keep my head focused on this and just keep going hard. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to keep myself alive, you know, keep the message going, and that's it. I don't want to deal with that, you know, street shit. Because street shit just, you end up dead in jail. And I'm not trying to die. I don't want to go to jail, so I just kept with the music. You know what I mean? Like,
yo, speaking of the message, I was listening to your last joint.
Mm.
Well, I listened to the first one, but the last joint, I heard it on Tidal.
Mm.
Shout out to my man L letting me use his Tidal account. So, but I'm listening to your joints.
Mm.
Like, you had the summertime joint, which was perfect because it was hot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then you had the Swerve extended joint.
Extended version.
Extendos.
I'm dead.
And then, but I'm listening, and I'm like, yo, because I love hip hop, so I listen to all types of whatever mood that I'm in. Like, this morning, I'm listening to M.O.P., and then after, like, 5 minutes, I was like, I don't want to kill nobody.
Right.
It was like a wake-up. Like, the M.O.P. was like a wake-up. Like, an Annie Up was like, wake up. Let's say, don't get yapped, nigga. You out here sleeping. You gonna get yapped. So I was like, wake up. And then, but then I'm, so when I'm listening to your joint, I'm like, yo, your joint is like, it's not like you're not talking about some crazy, you're not like, yo, Papa Perky.
Right. You're
not talking about drink some cough medicine.
Right.
You're not like, yo, shoot somebody grandmother.
I'm dead.
You're not saying none of that. Like, how does that even, but I say that because I feel like now a lot of the shit that's promoted is that.
Right.
So, like, how does it even feel to, like, what makes you go, I'm gonna go this way instead of that way?
Yo, just because I know, one, as corny as it sounds, being original and being myself can never go out of style. Because I feel like there was a point where Molly was popping, everyone was talking about Molly's, and then it died out. Then Future came back with Molly Perkins, and then it became famous again. Well, I'm like, you know, if I just keep saying the same thing that I've been saying for years and just stay original, that can never get played out. And I don't know how to be anyone else but myself. Like, when I tried to, you know, kind of change my sound, it just never worked for me. It's like, you know, that's just not my lane, that's not my style. I could change the, you know, sonically I could change the beat, but as far as what I'm saying, I just can't change, you know, how I feel, because I'll be lying to myself. And I feel like you can feel when somebody's lying in their music, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Although there are a lot of rappers who aren't authentic, they're entertaining, and I'm like, you know, I spit about real stuff. So I feel like if I was to start lying about my lifestyle, then it just wouldn't be real anymore, you know what I'm saying? People could feel that, and they won't, once you don't feel it, you don't buy into it, and there's no point in doing it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just want to,
that's like when I saw, yo, when I started comedy, right? Because I was like, yo, I felt like, because, you know, you got you a fan of whatever you do. I think you should definitely be a fan of whatever you're doing before you do it. Like, as far as, like, if it's music, you got to be a fan of music. You can't just not be a fan of music.
Right,
I'm going to be a, in music. That's you know what I mean? So I'm like, I'm watching Chappelle and them and like Rock and George Carl, like these comics. And I'm like, yo, Seinfeld. And I'm like, man. So I think when I first started, I was trying to like do my impression of that. Like what would I sound like if I was like that type of deal? And you know, I was doing what I ate, but then it wasn't until like, I remember this OG dude, he said, yo, Petey, you funny in the meantime. And I was like, what? Because I'm from the hood. And that's the other thing. Like, comedy is a different world for me. Like, I never was around these different type of energies. And right. I just know one energy, really. Mm. One or two energies. I don't know different energies. I don't know how to take a compliment. I don't know. I'm seeing a nigga try to play me. Right, like, what? This nigga like, yo, you funny in the meantime. I was like, what the fuck you? And he's like, nah, because, like, you funny right now, but you're not saying nothing. And I was like, damn, that shit, I had to think about that. Like, what? And then one day I was in court. I was like, my sentencing day or whatever. And then I didn't have time to go home and change my suit because I was interning at the club. So I was cleaning my suit on. I'm cleaning the tables, my suit.
That's crazy.
From court, nigga. And then it was such a good day because I got home. I got let out. So I was on probation, whatever. And then that was the first time in like 2 years, because the first 2 years I never talked about my situation and none of that, because I felt like I was kind of jinxing it or like whatever. And then I just talked about the real shit, and the people was like, yeah, like I got a response that I never even got before. People was laughing, but then when I'm like, yo, this is my all purpose suit, nigga, I wear this to funerals, court, job interviews, and I didn't even go to jobs. But and they was like, oh shit, I was like, yo, you know what it's like. I was just basically reenacting everything that happened to me that day where I'm like, yo, you go, you see the name on a docket and it's like, yo, America versus you. And you're like, I'm beat you Team USA, nigga, I'm from the hood. Like, I ain't got no, I got. But anyway.
That's real.
It made me be like, that's what you're saying, kind of like with your joint where you like, yo, you just, it's easy to be you, because then you can put that to anything.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You could rap about this room or whatever, but it's going to be coming from your window.
Exactly. See, I feel like if a trap rapper or another rapper was in this room, they'd be like, oh, X is on the wall. Oh, says it on, you know, with the X's or whatever. But me, I'd be like, there's no windows in this you know, room. And then I'll relate that to life. Like, what does no windows mean? That means no sunlight. That means no, you know, no vision to me. And that's where I would go with. That's where my mind goes. You know what I'm saying? If I would just start to, X is on the wall. Oh, X is on the wall. It's just what it means. You know what I mean? It's just not me. It's not, you know,
what my mind really thinks.
Word, exactly. That's crazy.
X is in those.
Word.
X is in those.
Hey, X is in those. Like,
hieroglyphics and we ball.
Word.
Yeah, yeah.
I just feel like I gotta stay authentic, you know what I'm saying, to me. And you know, it's gotten me this far, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know, and just getting people to buy into me is so crazy. Like, Pete, I promise you, we was in the club the other day, and I'm trying to talk to some girl, I'm trying to dance with her, she's like playing me. And it's some A&R comes in, like, yo, you know who that is? That's Uni G. And she's like, yo, you know Uni G? And she's like, oh, you Uni, how you doing, bro? And I'm just like, you know, and I don't take it to nothing. It's just like, it's all about perception. It's all about, you know, fake fame and, you know, fake clout. You know what I'm saying? That's all it's about. So just getting people to buy into me has always been, I guess, the goal. Because, you know, I'm like, yeah, I have good music, but it's not about that. It's not about music anymore. It's not about bars. It's not about your production. It's about the clout and, you know.
But even so, I think it's some, like, I know this shit don't go far, whatever, but, like, I think you're a good guy. Like, you're a good dude. Like, generally. Like, I wish being a good dude could sell albums. Like, yo, son, what's it? I'm a good dude, man. Never sexually assaulted nothing. Never.
I'm dead.
I just was here doing my 1-2. All right, something else that I noticed on the album. There was a joint, it was a track you said, you mentioned Big Sean threw your joint in that garbage?
In my CD in the garbage, mama started. You don't need nobody just to be some. Yeah.
I ain't gonna front. I when I heard that, I YouTubed Big Sean throwing the album in the garbage.
I'm dead.
I was like, I didn't find it. And I was like, so I was like, I definitely had to ask you about that. So what happened?
So it was, I think it was May like 16th, 2014. You know, I'm grinding. I'm trying to, you know, really go hard with the music, you know, on a whole nother level now. So I had Swerve. And I'm like, yo, I'm going to chop this a big show. I'm telling Kev, I'm telling everybody in the team, like, yo, I'm really trying to give Swerve out. And they're like, all right, so I'm like, yo, J. Cole waited for Jay-Z, and that's how he got signed. He ended up giving a CD to one of the security guards. Security guard put it on Jay-Z's desk, and Jay-Z ended up listening to it. I'm like, what if I do the same thing with J. Cole? I mean, with Big Sean. So I'm like, yo, let's try it. So I found out his schedule and found out he was going to be in Dykeman. I'm like, okay, cool. So me and the team bought tickets. It was like $40 a ticket, and it was mad money. So we get in there. I'm waiting for Big Sean. Security guards in VIP, so I couldn't get in VIP. So he like distracted the security guard. I snuck in VIP, took somebody to drink, act like I was supposed to be there. I'm dead ass.
BX shit. That's BX and Bronx shit, so, right there. Who you know stealing the nigga drink to stunt with it?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
For the special effect.
I'm dead. Had a little juice, a little mad ice in it. So Big Sean has a security guard. And I'm like, all I gotta do is just give him the CD. And I take out the CD, and his security guard hit me so hard in the stomach, my phone flew out, change flew out. And I'm like, yo, nah, I'm like, and I'm holding my stomach, like, yo, bro, I just want to give my CD to Sean, you know, just talk to him. And he was like, nah, you good. And Sean was like, nah, I got you. He's like, yo, tell me what you're like. I'm like, yo, my name's Uni G. I'm an upcoming rapper from the Bronx. This is my single, Swerve. I really love you on it. I think it's dope. You know, I had you in mind when I made it. He's like, oh, I got you. Don't worry about that. Love is love. Mad love. I mean, I appreciate it. So I hop out the VIP hype, end up getting my phone. And right when he's leaving, I see him take the CD and just throw it in the garbage and walked out. It was all good, though. It's all good. I mean, I shouldn't have been rocking a CD anyway in 2014, I guess. You know,
nah,
CD
so fuck that, son.
I just figured, like, you know, it's all love. One day I'm going to see him again, and, you know, I'll get him on a song still. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Get him on a remix or something.
Body
like
him real quick.
Nah, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Body him one time. Sean put up the high score on him. That's what I was talking about before you got here. So I did this audition on Friday, but, like, I was telling you, like, I was telling Taylor, I was like, yo. Mm. So right now I'm kind of unsure, like, what the answer, whether it's a yes or a no for the audition.
Mm.
In a way, like, either way, it's fine for me.
Right.
But sometimes I'll be looking for that no.
Yeah.
Because the no is the thing that always make you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, before you guys talking about Tom Brady, they picked Tom Brady 199, sixth round. Now this nigga one of the best to ever touch a football.
It's crazy.
198 people they picked before my dude. Like, oh, he garbage. He don't look the way. He don't. He's not built the way. He's whatever. And then he's like, yo, just give me a chance to show you what I can do, son.
Right.
So that's why my shit is like, I think those little no's, those like seeing Big Sean throw the joint frisbee it.
Word.
You like, that's the shit that's like, they don't even know that they just made you stronger.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
And then everybody else, I tell them, like, yo, the next time, like, the people that I body, like, that's on the joint with me, that's coming to do the same job, they don't even know that because of that person told me no, I gotta make you look foolish now. Like, I can't even make you look like we do the same thing. Right, I gotta make you look like, oh, that's comedy too?
I'm dead.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my whole, I'm coming to, nigga.
Nah, I feel you.
Mom's is in 4B, son. I'm like, dead. We try to get about a co-op, nigga, you know what I'm saying? That shit is, a nigga just trying to sell me a bike for $20 for a guy. How you driving on the bike? You on the mountain bike and you pull up like, yo, you want to buy this bike for $20? Like, what kind of shit?
That's crazy.
All I could think when he rode away was like, and if I gave him the 20, what, would he just walk back to Intervale? Like, what the fuck is going on with this nigga? Oh, he got Metro card in the dream? Like, he just like, yo, I'm going to hustle this shit. He drove away like, I'm trying to get something to eat. Anyway, the no's, B, I feel like the no.
Yeah, I got a lot of those.
Yeah.
I got a lot of no's in mine. I got played a whole bunch of time, got a lot of no's. And I'm like, at first I never used to get mad about it. It just used to hurt me. Like, yo, how come they playing me? Like, you know, I have good music. I know I have the message. I know I have good production. Like, what's the problem? What's the problem? Then I just figured out, you know, it clicked. Like, it's not about the music. And you can't take it personal. It's just about how famous you are. Get famous, get popping. It was, you know, the reason I started the Swerve Tour, you know, I auditioned to be a part of this college tour. And I'm like, yo, Petey, I was in the mirror in my house like, no, don't move your hand too much. No, when you put your hand up, do this, do that. I was going so hard.
Right.
And I auditioned. And they told me, all of them, they, you killed the audition, but you don't got the followers. I'm like, yo, I can get the followers. Trust me. Just give me a chance. And they was like, you know what? You deserve it. They was like, you too good to be on this tour. And I'm like, nah, I want to be on this tour. So they told the guy who was like a part, you know, who owned the tour, like, yo, he's nice. You need to put him on. He was like, but his following, he was like, all right, we'll let you know. And I didn't get chosen. I'm like, you know what? Why beg for someone else to start my own tour? And me, Jarvis, we called these venues on Tobacco Road and was like, yo, can we do something in your spot? It was like, yeah, we got you. Pay for that. I called Fred. I'm like, yo, Fred, could you come out? Cool. And then I had the artist open up. And from that show, everything just got crazy. Because then the next show.
Was that Friends and Lovers?
Was it Friends? I think so. No, it wasn't Friends and Lovers. It was when we did, I think Harlem at
Shrine,
the Shrine,
yeah, Shrine
the
yeah.
Shrine, and Revolt TV came out. You know what I'm saying? I was like, we got Revolt, we got all these people here now from something that I started by myself, you know, with no intention of it growing to be this big. But look how big it got, and it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it was like, you know, those no's made it me stronger, made the reason why I'm here today.
Right.
You know what I mean? All these labels calling now. I'm at Rock Nation, I'm at Atlantic Records, and they asking me for ideas. They're like, yo, Uni, how'd you start your tour? And I told them. They was like, yo, you doing better now with signed artists. And I was like, that's crazy to me. You know what I'm saying? I swear that's what they said. And verbatim, you're doing better now signed artists. Tell us how you did this. How'd you get that? And I was like, I just had artists opening up. I paid for the venues. I got, instead of a regular host, I'm like, I want to get a comedian. I want to make it funny. Just like, and I studied every show I did. I studied how Mike Geffner had you. I'm like, instead of a host, have a comedian. And look what Petey does. So Petey's perfect. Petey can run the show. While all that's going, while he's doing that, we're doing this behind the scenes. Make sure the artists are happy. While the artists are happy, make sure this is. So I'm like, yo, I studied every single show I've done and just brought an alignment to my show to make it a great show. Perfect. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Welcome to my universe. You can catch it popping off July 13th,
yep.
Uptown in the Bronx for the music festival.
Yep, Wetco Music Festival.
Wetco?
Yep.
I think I seen a spot on Instagram the other day, and then you can catch us on the 15th at the New Eurekan.
Yep.
Your boy is hosting. Where? It's a legendary venue. If you've never been, they probably one of the illest like type open mic spoken word venues in the city, and they've been around since like the 60s or 70s or something like that.
Crazy.
Then you can catch us on the 21st in the Lower East Side.
Yep, the New Blue Classic.
The New Blue Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Rock Nation's in the building.
Yep.
Chris Gotti, Hip Hop Mike.
Yep.
Who's the artist on the 15th?
So I just got other artists opening up, like Caleb and the Culture, the band I brought out
But here's the other thing though. I was like, son, I'll be listening, like I said, you bring me into your world.
Yeah. My universe.
To your universe. You know what I'm saying? Where I'm looking at artists and I'm like, oh, I would have never even heard these artists.
Right,
that's
right.
Ill.
Right.
You know what I mean? A couple, what's her name? Lizzie.
Oh yeah, Lizzie Ashley.
Lizzie.
Yeah, yeah.
A few people that I'm like, oh, okay, and you always rock with, you know, you mix it up, but you rock with a lot of the same people.
Right.
So we got the Welcome to My Universe tour popping off soon. You can catch him. You can catch me there. It's gonna be lit. It's always lit.
I got Lee Anderson. She come with her flute.
Oh yeah. Lee with the flute. How can I forget? And then what's the other homegirl with the piano?
Oh, Rachel LaCar.
Rachel LaCar. Yeah, shot. Yeah. Come on, man. Yo, you got the whole who you know in the Bronx with an orchestra? Niggas don't got orchestras out here, man. Come on, B.
I'm dead.
Universe unifications,
I'm
man.
Dead. You stupid.
You're unifying motherfuckers,
you
man. Come on, B. All right. What's your main purpose? We about to wrap it up. What's your main purpose? Like, what's your message that you're trying to put out there for the world to hear, to touch, you know, the people out there?
Yo, honestly, I just want to give people hope. You know what I'm saying? Because I know how it feels to feel hopeless. I know how it feels to feel depressed. I know how it feels to want something so bad and it not come to you. You know what I'm saying? I want to give people, you know, I want to be able to bring people to that utopia of, listen, don't want it so badly. Because, you know, for me, honestly, want the relationship with Christ, want the relationship with God first, and everything else will come. Just if you want it too bad, it'll kill you. Because when you don't get it, you'll be depressed, you'll be sad, you want to fight, you're just in a bad space. And I feel like my message is to just say, like, yo, just live life first and be happy. You know what I'm saying? Just keep going, be happy, and everything else will come to you. You know what I'm saying? That's my message.
Word up, man. Check my man Uni G out. Yep, search him. Apple Music. Tidal, SoundCloud?
Yeah.
SoundCloud.
Spotify.
How could I forget? Hulu. I'm check for him soon on Hulu. Netflix for the after, you know, behind the scenes.
Facts.
YouTube, you can catch the videos.
Right.
I'm still waiting to do an intro or something more. A skit. We got to bring back the skit.
That's
I don't know
fact.
If I got to be a pigeon. I could be a pigeon. You know what I'm saying? I could do whatever. You know what I mean? We need to bring the Bronx. We need to unite.
You know what I mean?
So check this out, man. Check my man out. By the time this drops, it'll be this week. So come through. Yo, make sure you tune in, subscribe,
right.
Rate, review. Your boy, Hope of the Hood,
Hope
ACAST.
Of the Hood.
iTunes, Apple Music. You can catch us there. Yo, my man, it's been an honor and a pleasure.
Always,
you know,
man,
I'm very excited
you.
To see what's to come. I already know you got the drive.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like we like machines. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We machines. And sometimes like we know the direction.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we just gotta go,
right.
You know. So it's like Waze, the Waze app. You know, yeah. The Waze app. It'd be like, "Yo, it's hot up there. Make a left."
Right,
and you'd be
right,
like, "All right, make a left real quick." You,
right,
you
right.
know, you was gonna make. You know where the destination is.
You're stupid.
But you know what I'm saying. You just keep faith in the ride,
that's
man.
A fact.
So
fact.
Appreciate you, my brother.
Appreciate you. We taking on a whole nother level. Man.
Bang.
Ready.